Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now,
check this out.
It's Crunch Time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. We're as happy as can be. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday's here. Thank you for tuning in to the midweek edition of the program. Eve of a big weekend, the Oregon men will be home on the morrow, 6 o'clock. We'll be doing our first men's basketball pregame prior to the Joey Mack pregame at 5 tomorrow night. And then we've got the women in action Friday, Sunday, the men back in action Saturday against Arizona State. It is division weekend, one of the great weekends in sport where we get down to the combatants for Championship Sunday.
Careful. Cough button to your left.
Cough button to your left.
See,
you
which you're mistaken, then. People have said this to me before. Cough buttons are fine. There's no choke button. Choking is sudden. It's not planned.
It very much sounded like a cough rather than a choke.
Choking. I'll be dead soon, so relax.
Okay.
Before we move along.
There's just a dead air button.
Carmelo. Splash! Big bucket for the big fella. A perfectly designed play. Depending on what gets your goat. Like somebody said on Twitter, it's like sports porn. And the play that freed up Carmelo Anthony to win the game was a thing of beauty. Well designed by the coaches, perfect execution. And look, you could do a book on the holes in Anthony's game. Pulling up and hitting a 15-footer ain't one of them. He's one of the best ever to do that. You get that shot in a tie game all day. There's not many other guys you'd want taking that shot under that circumstance. It's just bread, meat, butter. Butter! Like butter! And he goes Drano. We'll talk about that a little bit. And by the way, like everybody figured with the way they've been struggling, they beat the champs at their house. So, yeah, you got that going for you, which is nice. The passing of George Perlis. Most people, particularly in a college town, mostly because it happened more recently and it was the 80s and 90s as opposed to the 70s. I bet you a lot of people today were finding out that he was the defensive line coach, then a coordinator and an assistant for the Steelers. Dynasty, the team of the 70s, and he was there from 72, the Immaculate Reception season, through this last Super Bowl they won in January of 80 against Los Angeles, number 4. He did not have a controversy-free career at Michigan State. There were more than whispers of steroids, and I believe he left them on sanctions, and he was also the AD for a while, but he passed away today. And it warrants further conversation. We'll have our pet of the week at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Our buddy Sarah was here with Finn, a very, very nice boy. Green-hill.org on the web. Go learn more, adopt, best decision you can make. And our buddy Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, interesting tweet. Because tomorrow, like I mentioned, Arizona-Oregon right now, for the better part of close to a decade, it's the best rivalry now in the Pac-12. I know
basketball.
Coaches, yeah, Nope, Arizona, Oregon. Best football rivalry. Civil War, Washington,
track and field,
USC.
Tennis, golf,
lacrosse.
Beach volleyball, lacrosse, soccer.
Okay.
All of it.
So Nick with a positive contribution, a rarity. And our buddy Joey Mack stopped by. And first of all, the yeoman's effort, I don't know if a lot of people got. So he calls the Rose Bowl. You all watched it. And he got on a plane that night for Boulder and to call Ducks Buffs the next day. But he pointed out something that I'll tell you, I may have guessed, but I wasn't aware of, if that makes sense. Longest tenured coach in Pac-12 basketball, men's, Dana Altman. Second longest is a push between Tad Boyle and...
Tad?
Tad Boyle? Is that Tad Boyle?
I don't know many people named Tad. T-A-D? It's not Thad or... Tad?
You know it's not helpful when you make me second guess something that I'm pretty sure I knew.
I'm just... No.
Yes, it's Tad Boyle.
No, I believe...
You made me look it up.
That's fine. I didn't know the guy's name was Tad. I didn't... Thomas Martin Tad Doyle. How do you get Tad from Thomas?
I got a claim on this one. They didn't check with me when he was born, growing up, his nickname. They never called my house in Jersey. We're like, we're thinking of a nickname for this Boyle guy. He's a pretty good ball player. Well, Tad, what the hell are you thinking about? So this, and it's substantial. Oregon has really cemented its spot in the tournament because some of the times they beat Arizona. It's Arizona. The blue blood is UCLA, but over the last 20 years, save that nice run with Ben Howland and Kevin Love, UCLA has not achieved what Arizona has. Although, under Sean Miller, who took over for Russ Pinnell, after the 07-08 season, remember, there was Lute Olson, and he left, kind of walked away. Kevin O'Neill stepped in, now works for the Pac-12 Network, was there for a year. Then the situation was kind of up in the air. But then Miller took over for the 09-10 season, and a rarity at the time. That ended, I think, that one of the longest runs of getting in. You know, from 1985 through and including the 09 dance, Arizona was in every year. I think only North Carolina topped that. And then he got them to an Elite Eight, which they went to three Elite Eights in 5 years, but came up light. The best team he had was probably 13-14 when they got knocked off by Wisconsin by a point. Remember that wild finish? Kind of controversial with a foul. And, you know, you look at the team with Nick Johnson, Aaron Gordon, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, TJ McConnell, all got drafted. Gabe York was a good player on that team. They had 6 players on that team that were either McDonald's All-Americans or like in the top 25 of the national recruiting rankings. But they came up a little bit light to that Wisconsin team with Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Nigel Hayes, Ben Brust. And, so this is a very meaningful game. And the question is, if you had to take a guess, it's an early game, 6 o'clock. You would think perfect. Football clearly in the rear view, and we've seen the turnout for the women, tens and elevens of thousands of people. Tens and 11, is that a thing? Am I making stuff up again?
Tens and elevens of thousands of people. Is 11,000, isn't that part of the tens of
thousands? It's
right
in the neighborhood. I got to give you that
one. It's not twenties of thousands, which is still a tens of thousands. It's two tens of thousands. This is a tens of thousands and a thousands.
Well, the thing is, the most attractive Oregon games have been on the road. Alabama State, Texas Southern have drawn, I think that was a push. 6,700 people. Montana, who you know you knew going in, they were going to win by 1,000. 5,800. Why is that funny?
It's the way he just so calmly delivered. Oh, he just knew they were going to beat Montana by 1,000.
They were.
That pretty much did.
6,500 for Hawaii. Then they played the battle for Atlantis. Houston was probably the most anticipated non-conference home game of the year. And that was the weekend leading up to Thanksgiving weekend. 8,000 for that one. UT. So if I set the over-under at 9,250.
Too specific.
That's it. You know how the houses are in Vegas. They get specific, and you're like, why did they come up with that number? And you're like, oh, and it ends up right on the number. 7,200 for Boise State. Fresno State was here, right? Second game of the year?
City.
6,800. So you see that they've been in that 6,600. I'm saying they close in on 10 large. And they win this game, and I'm just telling you, it's substantial. It's tomorrow night. We'll have the call starting with our pregame at 5. Joey Mack at 5:30. Tip-off is 6 o'clock. And if memory serves, this is an ESPN game. I assume... And I think it's based on a tweet from yesterday that, J.B. Long and Don McLean are doing the game. No, that's the Pac-12 network. Something's amiss here. GoDucks.com says,
oh. Oh, boy.
You know what helps?
Reading.
Just no.
Oh.
Bringing up the game notes for the right game.
Ah.
Just call me nuts. But Utah is, no. In a word, what's the word I'm looking for? No. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I was trying to see if you know who was calling the game on ESPN.
Oh, Big Bill?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pac-12 opener at home. We know they went on the road and got the split. It's amazing how subtle things like that can be viewed. And there it is, the TV on ESPN, Dave Pasch and Bill Walton. So you got that going for you, which is nice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Oh, by the way, thanks to Tim and the good folks at Papa John's. We got the pizza hookup today. It's a newbie, by the way. The extra cheesy Alfredo pizza. Alfredo! Features Papa John's fresh original crust covered in creamy two-cheese Alfredo sauce. A four-cheese blend baked to a crispy golden brown with special garlic sauce, artesian Parmesan Romano. And if that weren't enough to lure you away from the greens, just $10. Use the promo code EXTRA. So you can actually, for a few more shekels, get more cheese added on. But I indulged in a couple slices. Very yummy. Appreciate the long, long, long time support of our friends at Papa John's.
Tannenism.
What can I tell you? It's Alfredo. Big Al, the kitty's pal, Fredo. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So I can't just hit delete. I have to, like, kind of ease out of seasons. You notice it when a World Series ends, when a national champ is crowned. So now that we're exactly a week removed from the Rose Bowl, first of all, the news making the rounds is substantial. There seems to be kind of an unconfirmed buzz that within a week we'll find out who Coach Cristobal is going to have as his offensive coordinator for next year, with Arroyo now officially a running rebel in Vegas. a rebel rebel. You've torn your dress. That's right. It's a Bowie song. Today would have been Bowie's 73rd birthday. I'm all encompassing, folks. That's what you get here. I was looking at the depth chart from the Wisconsin game. And by the way, I make fun of some of you who go back and watch the same game three times. At least you're watching a game. I got a highlighter and a pen, and I'm going over the depth chart. And with me in my life, everything's got to be a game. So I'm calling it level of concern. And I was going unit by unit on the offense. Some defense, you know, quarterback, running back, the offensive line, the pass catchers, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. And my thought was, with either what we know or what we think. And the reason I bring that up is I think Thomas Graham is coming back. I think Jordan Scott is leaving. We know the status of Dye and Herbert and all that. And I was like, what are you most concerned with heading in to 2020? And you could make assumptions. I don't. In your evaluation, you're more than welcome. If you looked at recruiting, if you looked at the guys who redshirted, and you think that X player is going to adequately fill a hole left by a legit starter, you know, that's up to you, and that's all well and good. There are no wrong answers. It's a personal evaluation. It's a prediction. But, you know, I was looking at the secondary. I think, and I guess Graham was one of them who put in for an NFL evaluation. Did I hear somebody say maybe Diamador Lenore, the other junior? But I would not be surprised if it were, you know, late June, early July, and all of a sudden, be it Phil Steele or Athlon or ESPN, when you start to get into, you know, various podcasts and you see people on Twitter listing their top five, fill in the blanks. I think the Oregon secondary next year in the preseason is going to be getting a lot of the chatter that we saw with the offensive line this year, as far as as good as it gets, best in the conference, top five in the country, and on and on and on and on. You know, you think about they, and I don't like to say, well, they're only losing, and then mention a good player and just be that dismissive. So you take nothing away from Hockey Woods, who, you know, overcame the scolding from Coach Cristobal against Cal in 2008.
I ain't happy, man. I ain't happy. I ain't about those BS penalties here. I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
Yeah. Almost forced Joey Mack into an early retirement out of pure fear.
Yeah.
The late hit late in the first half. And it turned out that he had a fantastic senior year. I mean, he got in the rotation. Dude, how many times was did you see 12? Get off a pile on special teams. I mean, I would actually use the term 14, number 14, a demon.
Yeah, he blocked, almost blocked another punt or was in on one of the block punts in the Rose Bowl, too. He's all over the place late in the season. He's making a big impact.
No, his name was called for only good reasons,
yeah.
It seemed like. So, what Mikhail Wright was a freshman. I mean, He seems pretty talented.
Also very good.
I'm a Javon Holland guy. I think he's going to be first team all conference. I think he's probably going to get some all American love. I think he is every bit of that. Verone McKinley. I mean, the interceptions early in the season, nose for the ball. He was only a redshirt. Brady Breeze. He was okay down the stretch. You know, he went from a guy who, yeah, good bloodline, high football IQ, serviceable, to just, you know, a difference maker. Steve Stevens, Nick Pickett, Diamador Lenore. I mean, this is probably the group right now as we speak heading in without any definitive answers that I would grade out the highest. You guys with me on that one? So what would be your primary level of concern? And I think it's pretty obvious. Justin Herbert leaving? Seems like cause for concern. Because And this is not to be, again, use the word dismissive of the people we talk to, you know, whether it's our broadcasters, whether people work there, people who cover it and talk about what they're hearing in practice. Yeah, that's a big gray area. Whether it's Tyler Shuck, whether it's are they going to go to transfer route? I mean, you go from a play at quarterback to the unknown. That's a concern. You might be confident like me and think, well, I feel like the program is a lot different than it was 3 years ago. I feel like they have reached the point where they could. I'm not arrogant enough to say reload just yet, because they didn't reload from last year. They won the Rose Bowl because they had some great veteran leadership. They've been recruiting like banshees, and they made plays. They won two close games, and that got them into contention. They sealed the deal when it was needed against OSU. They kicked Utah's ass and surprised a lot of people, and then did a grinder. And the key is the quarterback, whoever he may be, will not face the pressure that some quarterback, it's like, dude, you're going to have to score 37, 38 points a game for this team to have a chance to contend for. Nope. With what Avalos has crafted here and his incredible assistance, the defense is going to give you a chance pretty much every week. And so I'm not saying you need a system quarterback, but let's be realistic. Mario Cristobal said he wanted to build more of an SEC-style program. And one of the deals with Alabama, when you think of SEC programs, was, okay, A.J. McCarron goes out, you put that guy in there, okay. Before that, it was, what was his name, Brody Croyle. You know, great defense, good offensive line, run the ball. Quarterback who could make plays, and then all of a sudden they land Jalen Hurts and Tua, who obviously are just silly playmakers. But those are a bonus. That means that they win a lot of those games by 50 instead of 30. So, yeah. But I'm not taking Herbert for granted. I'm not taking plug and play for granted. And I'm not taking anything at quarterback for granted, because we've seen in history when the starter's gone down for the last 4 or 5 years, it's meant trouble. So if all of a sudden Shuck comes out of nowhere, not out of nowhere, wins the job, which, by the way, I think that would be very telling if they, you know, dipped in to other areas, whether it was a transfer, who they've recruited, who may be redshirted, and all of these guys make a run at Shuck, and all of a sudden he steps up and wins the job. Now, the thing to remember about Tyler, he was a red shirt. He's 6'5", 220. So, and at that age, like we saw with Herbert, he also will bulk up and grow and learn how to take a hit. So, like I said, optimistic? Why not? Confident? Sure, I believe in this coaching staff. But locking it in? Not just yet. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you like to hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. Otherwise, let's take our first break of this Wednesday, and we'll be back with more Crunch Time, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Now watch this. This is legal. The ball went through the basket. They can put all five guys out of bounds. This is a legal play. Very smart. They've done that before.
And a foul on the Red Raiders.
I want you to watch this, John. By rule, after a basket, all five players can be out of bounds.
That was the strangest thing I ever saw. That was ESPN, Boog Shambi and Fran Fraschilla calling Texas Tech and Baylor. So it's a tight game, 4-point game. Texas Tech decides to, you know, play the get the quick two and then press and foul. So they cut the lead to 52-50. There's 29 seconds to go. And all five Baylor players go out of bounds behind the end line. one guy, it's like almost like the guy that takes the ball is almost calling a play. Four guys go out. He finds who's open, inbounds the ball. They don't turn it over. They get fouled. They end up winning the game 57-52 and stay number six. If you go to the ESPN site and just click on NCAA men scores in that game and you just hit, that's like the lead highlight. And you look at it, you're like, why are there four, there are five Baylor players standing out of bounds? And the reason is, it's legal. And, well, I guess, why would it be illegal? Nobody's got the ball in play, so. But, no, what a neat thing. Never saw anything like that. You know, speaking of never seen anything like it, so Kyle Rudolph is the tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. Really good player, though he totally pushed off on the game-winning touchdown. He said, after the game last weekend, a member of the media went up to him, asked for his game glove, said he was doing a charity benefit. First of all, anything on your mind, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Hit us up via text, 3210824. You can try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station, for yours truly, at sportstalk953 for Nick at Rick Nodgers. So then somebody notifies Rudolph, did you give somebody your game gloves? Yeah. Some imbecile, the media guy, put him on sale on eBay for $375 plus $6.95 for shipping and receiving. No, I went and saw the post. And you're probably thinking, oh, actually, I don't know what you're thinking. But whatever line of work you're in, there are certain no-nos. I mean, as far as, you know, that aren't legal violations. I mean, you know, you're not going to go to jail for that. But if you work in media, this is as right on the border of as serious as it gets. For example, in order to be in the locker room, you know, you can't be a fan. You can't yell, hey, can I come in? You got to go through every team you see. Everyone who covers them, there is somebody at the athletic department, with the franchise, sports information, whatever they call it. You have to somehow, sometimes like we do for seasonal passes. So if you see us at a basketball game and you see the media pass hanging around our neck, we had to go online, provide a picture, provide our contact information, who we are, why we're going to be there. It's working. They don't just get handed out willy-nilly. And if you apply for a credential and you read it, it says things like, this is issued to qualified individuals with a legitimate working capacity, and acting in an unprofessional capacity gets you ejected, not transferable. And, you know, on the back of our winter pass, it says, this pass is the property of the University of Oregon Athletic Department, may be revoked at the discretion of management. There's more, but you get my point. So if I'm covering the women's game, I can't go up to Sabrina with a basketball and say, hey, sign this for my niece.
Please would be the way you
right,
have
right,
to
right.
Ask.
Yeah. Of course.
Manners, Steve.
You have to go through proper channels. And, you know, last year we were holding a fundraiser for Women's Space. We went out, bought a couple basketballs, a football. We got we dropped them off, had to fill out a form, make it all, because, you know, there's money involved, there's eligibility, and you can't be taking advantage of stuff like this. It's unprofessional. B, it's not moral. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, we got the basketball signed by Dana Altman and Kelly Graves and Mario Cristobal. And so it's the Minnesota Vikings of the NFL, and some guy goes up and asks Rudolph, hey, I'm involved in this charity. Can I have your game gloves? And obviously a good guy. Oh, it's a charity. I'm lucky enough to be an NFL player. This will earn money here. And the Jag goes and sells them on eBay. And you see it now making the rounds on social media. This guy's going to get found out. He's going to get his credentials yanked from the Vikings. He may lose his job. And I don't know that is completely warranted. It's just you lose what I would call a privilege, and you get a talking to, and the next time you don't dot an I on a story, your ass is gone.
Which would be sad, because a lot of this stuff is written digitally, and the computer does it for you.
That would be neat. You know, you're just a mistake waiting to happen. You turn in a digital article, and none of the T's are crossed.
That would be horrible. Why did you write so many L's? I don't understand. Cross your T's, dot your I's, not little L's and big L's. I need I's with dots and T's with crosses.
Yeah, I'm an editor, for God's sakes.
I would also, another appropriate punishment seems like you take away the computer and you're like, typewriter with no backspace key. Because I think there are some that have like the whiteout one. You've got to be able to spell every word correctly. No internet for you. You have to look your words up in a dictionary, and not a recent dictionary either, with a lot of recent words. We're giving you one from my grandma's house from 1985, and it's got a lot of old words in it. That might be misspelled.
There was, Jim Calhoun, when he was the coach of UConn, and it was right around as the economy was collapsing in late 2008, early 2009. You might remember this. So a journalist had applied for credentials, and his name was Ken Krajewski. And
Krzyzewski.
It wasn't the other coach. So there's a post-game news conference, as you would imagine. For example, if there was a controversy surrounding one of the Oregon coaches and you wanted to set up an appointment as a journalist, look, I would like to speak to coach about these allegations, this and that. You'll see when you're there, the credential is issued to a media member to cover that game, not to write a story about something unrelated to the game. I know you're thinking, well, that gives them an out to, yes, and it's proper. We're there to watch Oregon play Team X, and after the game, you want to ask about strategy, you want to ask about injuries, you want to ask about, the upcoming game. So this guy, who it turned out was a freelance journalist and political activist. First of all, my first question, and I remember we did some follow-up, was whoever issued that guy a credential did not do their homework. Unless the journalist lied and said, yeah, I do this, I do that, but I'm just, here for our paper to cover Connecticut basketball. I live and work out of Hartford. But he questioned how the highest paid public employee was he okay with making $1.6 million a year? By the way, 10 years ago, a coach making $1.6 million in basketball was like astronomical. It was Jim Calhoun, who had like three national titles. Or at the time, it was two. But anyway, and the guy started bringing up fiscal responsibility, and the state budget has a $900 million deficit. How do you warrant making that kind of money in such tough economic times? And Calhoun was like, yeah, I'm not giving a dime back, and basically told the guy to F off. And he was 100% right, and everybody in the media backed him, because it was like, that's not the place and time to ask that question. It's got nothing to do with anything. And Calhoun said to him, maybe I'll pull the sound, maybe for tomorrow. He said something along the lines of, my best advice to you is shut up. And then this dude said, if these guys covered this stuff, I wouldn't have to. So here's the deal. He's a sneaky little SOB too, because he got a photo pass and then tried to kind of ambush. And Calhoun also mentioned, I also brought in $12 million annually for the university. He said, get some facts and come back and see me. And I realized that that's maybe a broad connection there. But it's you're there to do your job, and that's not get autographs, take pictures of you with the players, you know, get gear signed. If you're getting paid, you shouldn't be there to think of another way to make more money.
Is this guy's only scumbaggery, like, easy out at this point to say, no, I was going to donate the money from whatever I sold to charity. I just didn't know how to directly give it to the charity other than by selling it on eBay.
You know, somebody brought that up.
You claim ignorance and you act like a complete idiot and you'll probably get away with it.
He can play dumb. And I think that's where the franchise says your credentials are pulled.
Right.
The boss, whatever publication he works for, can say, all right, you make good on the $400. You keep your job at least. I think that's his out to remain employed.
Easily, yeah.
But like I said.
Also, gloves, like those are probably pretty stink. I understand, like, it caught a big catch in a big moment.
Yeah, game-winning touchdown.
Those are the ones that's, you know. Okay,
playoff game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but the gloves, like, what are you going to do? You get, like, little hand mannequin hands that you put in a glass case that you put the gloves on around a fake football, like they caught it. Do you put them on a mannequin that's, like, pushing off of somebody else, and you got a little, like, Kyle Rudolph shrine in your home, and you're like, this is perfect. I've been looking for gloves to finish off my Kyle Rudolph mannequin, my shrine. Very strange
All
thing.
Right.
To,
if somebody could produce a Kyle Rudolph mannequin.
No, please don't.
Dinner and drinks are on me.
Well, you get a mannequin, you get some shoulder pads, you get a Kyle Rudolph jersey, you get a Vikings helmet, you get some just regular white football pants. That's 90% there already.
You need gloves.
You need gloves and a shoes, yeah. And then you've got him in the motion of pushing off, and then you can have everybody, stage photos in front of the mannequin like you're getting the guy pushed off of in the championship.
And by the way, the reason fellow media members get pissed off at people like this, because there's that mentality of throw the baby out with the bathwater. Then so other athletes will be like, well, now I'm not signing anything, and I'll make my own charitable donations or undertakings. So for those of you in the media that we've been good to for now on, now you can all screw off, and you got that guy to blame. So that's why the jerk store called, and they're out of this guy. All right.
Oh, no!
284-8571. That's your Oregon Fuel Injection hotline. If you want to jump on in, hit us up on the text line. 321-0824 on Twitter. Once again, at 953 The Score for the radio station, for the radio program at Sports Talk 953, and for our producer, Nick Rogers. It's at Rick Rogers. All right. We'll take a bake. You know, with the pizza I've been talking about. That was baked. But either way, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap up Crunch Time on a Wednesday with the Crunch Exchange, 95.3 The Score.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
I wasn't necessarily ready to start the Crunch Exchange, but here we are. It's about that time. It's the Crunch Exchange. It's how we wrap up Wednesdays during Crunch Time. It's the first time we've done this in a decade, Steve, because we've had a lot of Wednesdays off, so here we go. Kirk Cousins has had a super weird NFL career. He was drafted by the Washington Football franchise in the same draft when they mortgaged their future on Robert Griffin III, and after a pretty okay time at Michigan State. After RG3's knees turned to rubber, Cousins showed up and gave people some hope that maybe someday he would be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Kirk has also been called Kurt, and for some reason he was given 6 Monday night games with the Washington team where he went 0-for. He got 5 more Thursday night games with Washington, 1-4. He was given even more primetime Monday and Thursday games with the Vikings, no wins. The dude's game logs on not Sundays read like a horror story, mostly because he was on Washington and they weren't very good and they were kind of being forced to take on someone good for the good ratings, and we're 5 years into his NFL career and we're still waiting for a Monday night win, or even just a primetime win. It's insane. Saturday brings Kirk Cousins to another large, or Saturday was Cousins. Yeah, hold on. Wait. This Saturday brings Cousins to another large loophole for Cousins to exploit in the primetime Kirk Cousins tragedy. He won his first playoff game against the Saints on Sunday, but that was at the normal 10 a.m., 1 p.m. East time slot. That's not a primetime game. It was just another Sunday road game. Saturday, however, is Kirk's day. He's 2-0 all time. Dalvin Cook is healthier. Adam Thielen adds another weapon to the passing game, and the defense ended the season averaging 3 sacks a game and had more interceptions than touchdowns allowed. On top of that, the Vikings are 40-0 under Mike Zimmer when they run the ball more than 30 times in a game. 40-0. Perfect on Saturdays. The confidence of Mr. You Like That is back. Is this the recipe for that Minnesota needs to make a conference championship game? The prospectus. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings upset the 49ers.
I'm going to sell that. I think what we're hearing from practice is somewhat concerning with the injuries to their wideouts. He stayed out of his own way adequately against New Orleans. I think San Francisco is a better defense, and they get after the quarterback. I like Frisco in this game.
Fair enough. Yeah, Cousin, he's not winning. No, there's no way. Major League Baseball has long had a problem with cheating. For the greater part of the last 2.5 decades, it's been finding ways for players to stop using performance-enhancing drugs, and now they're having to deal with a problem that is essentially technology. Baseball was slow to embrace technology when it came to replay review. Even now, it's pretty limited. TV networks have had a computer-generated strike zone for a long time now, and only now MLB umpires are kind of willing to work with robots running the strike zone and trying to marry those two together. And the teams have clearly found a way to use technology to their advantage, and that advantage comes through cheating. Taking the dozens of cameras that are at games to fill signs, use a replay review room to film it, analyze it, and bada bing, bada boom, you know which pitch is coming and when. The two biggest scandals hitting baseball are in Houston and Boston, and the link between the two is Alex Cora. He's the current manager of the Red Sox and was the bench coach in Houston, so it seems more than likely he might have been the one in charge of running the trash can banging with them, and certainly has a lot on his plate in Boston. Now, this is me recklessly speculating of all of this, and we can only speculate until MLB announces their findings on these investigations, but it's looking really bad for Alex Cora. The NFL, Sean Payton was suspended for a season for allowing Greg Roman to orchestrate his bounty gate with the Saints, and MLB generally doesn't suspend managers unless there's a brawl, but this feels like a pivotal moment to get ahead of the technology-enhanced cheating that's going on. The prospectus, Alex Cora will be suspended for a significant amount of games in the wake of the sign-stealing investigations.
I think baseball is now feeling a black eye, which might hurt business. And we know one thing. When it comes to the commissioners, they put the integrity and all that way, way, way below if they could get hit at their bottom line. Goodell's the king. Don't sell Manfred short. He's going to get punished, and it's going to be noticeable, and I'm buying that.
Sticking with baseball, the hot stove has certainly cooled down significantly, but there's still some rumors being floated about for some offseason trades. Ownership all over the league are telling their GMs to cut talent to stay under the luxury tax, and because talent costs money, talent's got to go. The big name on the block now is Nolan Arenado. The 28-year-old third baseman signed an 8-year, $260 million extension that avoided him going into arbitration settlements and being signed to stay in the ultra-hitter-friendly Coors Field. On top of that, he's a 7-time Gold Glove winner, a 3-time Platinum Glove winner, and a 4-time Silver Slugger. There's a lot of smoke coming from these rumors that are coming even after the winter meetings because he's generally very good at baseball. Fortunately, the rest of the Colorado team isn't all that great. They finished 35 games out in the West, even behind the Giants last year. And when you get the formula of good player plus bad team plus big money contract, that equals trade chip. Winning in Colorado, however, isn't impossible. They've won an NL pennant. They've made the wild card game at least in the last 2 years. And a key part of that was Arenado. Is his weight and prospects really worth losing his contract? The prospectus, the Rockies will trade Nolan Arenado.
I don't think so. They have one of the three best players in baseball. They're a pretty good team. And plus with my heart, please don't. I like him right there. That left side of the infield is stout. So I'm selling that.
I saw him hit a home run in the snow. That was very fun. Last one here. I'm going to try not to spoil anything if you haven't been able to watch the Jeopardy GOAT contest that's going on right now. But we'll try and say this. After one night, it seems to be living up to the hype. For you nerds that aren't into Jeopardy, the GOAT competition
is
between Mr. Jeopardy Ken Jennings, his 74-game winning streak, Jeopardy James Holzhauer, who holds more Jeopardy records than anyone else, and Brad Rutter, the third one, who's won more Jeopardy tournaments than anybody. He's never lost to a human, only IBM's Watson. The first night of the competition was incredible, as through the Jeopardy round, no one missed a question or answer. Plenty of true daily doubles, as everybody is scared of how much the other two might get if they get the other daily double or go on a run. It's very thrilling stuff. The peak of competition. Now, some slight spoilers here, even though I said I wouldn't be spoiling anything. Ken Jennings took the first game last night, got a point, putting him in the lead of this first to 3 points contest, but Jennings has never beaten Brad before, and James is only a hair behind him despite not finding a single daily double in the two contests. It's just can't miss television, folks. The prospectus, Ken Jennings wins the Jeopardy GOAT competition.
Oh my God. I'm going to end up recording the whole thing and then watching on a binge. So I don't know what happened last night, but
and you weren't listening, which is very on brand for you. So
yes,
thank you.
I was trying to avoid that. So he never loses. So yeah, buy that. All right. Here's a story from the Seattle Times. Washington State coach Mike Leach has interviewed for the vacant coaching position at Mississippi State.
That sounds like fun. You know, Mike Leach in the SEC at like a kind of big, not too big program. That sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, Mike Leach and Nick Saban press conferences might be a thing in the future. Oh.
First of all, they could have him. I don't think he's that great of a coach. I think he's a one-trick pony. Anyway, that kind of ties into something I want to get into in sports talk, because the former Mississippi State coach, the reason there's an opening, Joe Moorhead, according to 24/7 Sports, he's in the running for the offensive coordinator position at the University of Oregon. That's right, the Ducks. He's a Pittsburgh PA guy, and I did a lot of research on him. This would be sort of a trajectory-altering move for him, because he's come through the ranks, was an offensive coordinator at a major program, landed this gig. And remember, everybody hears SEC, but it's really important to differentiate. Are you going to the SEC East with Alabama and LSU and Auburn? Or are you going into the SEC West, where you could do business with Georgia? Yeah, tough program, Florida, but that ain't that LSU, Bama, Auburn 1-2-3 punch. So, yeah, we will chat about that and some Duck football, as well as a bunch of hoops coming your way next. 95.3 The Score.
But, man, y'all got a coconut up.